Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of August 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And then a bit later in the program, we'll look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois. In agricultural news, there may not be enough votes on Capitol Hill to repeal the renewable fuel standard that has made ethanol the biofuel of choice in the United States. And the potash cartel based in Russia, which commanded two-thirds of the world market for the plant nutrient, has failed. Dave Dickey will have these and other stories shortly. And then as we close out our program, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, in Chicago, for a Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. September soft red winter wheat at $6.58. A settlement price there down 6.25. In December at $6.70.5, 6.5 cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City finished the lead at $7.06.75 unchanged. September corn futures at $4.87.5, 11.5 cents lower. December down 12 at $4.67. March at 479.75, down 11.75, and the May corn at 487.5, down 11.75. July futures $4.93.25, down 12.25, and September at $4.94.5, down a dime. August soybean futures at $13.57.75, a settlement price 16.25 lower. September at $12.34.25, down 15.5, and November beans $11.92.5. The final trade on the day down 13.75 for the settlement. In January futures, $11.98, down 13 cents. March at $12.75, down 12. And next year's July at $12.05.5 in the bean pit, 11.5 cents lower. August bean meal off $9.70 and bean oil 40 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the August at $120.80, down 65 cents per 100 pounds. October at $124.50, 97.5 cents lower. August feeder cattle at $153.75, a gain today up 32.5 cents. And September futures there at $157.25, up 27.5 cents. Lean hogs at $98.42.5, finished the day 85 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the September at $107.81 a barrel, up $2.78. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $3.02¼, that's up 2¼. And ethanol at $2.28¹, just about ½ cent lower. Natural gas trading at $3.40, down 4¾¢. Diesel fuel at $3.09¼, that's 3¼¢ higher. And the gold futures on the day down $1.70 at $1,310.70 a troy ounce. The U.S. dollar at 82.33 is up 0.88, and the S&P at 1706 is 20.3 higher for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see sunny skies today and a high of 82 degrees. Should be a beautiful afternoon. Already is, with a west-northwest wind at about 10 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy at a low of 61. That west-northwest wind will continue at 6. And then tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain showers, mostly cloudy, a high of 79 degrees. The winds will turn to the south-southwest at 6 to 8. And then Friday night, the 50% chance of rain showers continues, mostly cloudy, a low of 64 on a southwest wind at 5 to 7. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 77 degrees on calm winds. They'll turn to the northwest by then throughout the afternoon, about 6 miles an hour. And Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of around 60. Mostly sunny skies on Sunday, with a high of 77. Sunday night, a chance of showers. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and 61. Monday, a chance of thunderstorms, partly sunny and 77 degrees. And on Monday night, Showers and thunderstorms in 63. Sunny on Tuesday in 79 and sunny on Wednesday in 80 degrees. Should be a beautiful week. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour here on WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check now what's been happening in the futures markets. Dan Zwicker is with us from CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What a beautiful day it here is here in the Midwest. How about in your part of the world?
It's a little cooler, but it's still, you're still in New Orleans. it's humid, but it's not all that bad, really.
Yeah, you're the one that moved there, man. It's just you.
Yes, I know.
Are you coming? But you're coming back north next week, though, aren't you?
Yes, I'm coming up north. Going to do a few meetings in Illinois next week. So I was just checking to see if I needed to bring my winter coat or not.
It's not that cold. It's beautiful weather. Any place you'll be that we can have folks drop in and see, or are all
Well, I'm going to be at Sangamon County. Farm Bureau at their steak fry on Wednesday evening. So if you're a Sangamon County Farm Bureau member, you might want to call in and make your reservation so they got enough steaks for you. But I will be there. I don't know if they probably hear too much of us in Springfield.
They probably do. WHOW out of Clinton makes it a little, probably into that way, and certainly out of Taylorville, WTIM, which carries the program, also does. So.
Okay, so they're probably hearing some of that. But, I'll be there Wednesday evening.
All right, good. Well, they can contact the Sangamon County Farm Bureau and have a little steak and listen to what you have to say about the marketplace. Let's hear what you have to say today. You know, for a while you were feeling awfully friendly to the marketplace for corn, and then she turned lower on you. What do you say at this point?
Well, from what I can understand what is going on with the crop, there's no doubt about it. The crop is, or at least the trade perceives the crop is getting bigger. And wouldn't be surprised to see some of these private estimates come out. I think FC Stone's out sometime this afternoon. Informa Economics is going to be out tomorrow with, a yield maybe in the upper 150s. USDA's at 156, I think. And that was just an armchair guess when they made that there for the last report. And the trade feels that USDA is so optimistic on the demand side of the equation that actually any kind of yield above 150 is going to build inventory. Now, that may be going to the extremes because we do have some good demand going on. I mean, these lower prices in both corn, new crop corn and soybeans seems to be stirring up at least some export interest. Both corn and soybean sales were 1 million tons here this morning for the past week. So that is at least supporting encouragement that maybe at the end of the day, maybe demand won't be quite as bad as what the trade was working here over the past couple of months. But the weather forecasts, which basically have turned just cool, the eastern half has had the greatest share of the rain this year. So everybody feels pretty comfortable with that eastern corn crop. The western corn crop has had some difficulty getting rain into it. I think the current meteorologists want to kind of put a central Iowa rain in it and have that move across the Midwest into Ohio over the next few days. If that is realized, that's going to help out some pollination in Iowa, and that's going to help beans continue to set pod. So Anytime we get close to a government report, especially the volatility that we've seen in government reports, we have a strong tendency of people wanting to move to the sidelines, and I think we saw some of that here today, getting ready for this string of private crop estimates and USDA's report, I guess, a week from Monday.
Yeah, I have a different sort of question for you. I know you watch the charts and you deal with them, and you've always told me that the charts tell you where you're going to go. The fundamentals are the reason why it goes there. So I have a different question for you. When you look out into the coming year, and if you're satisfied maybe that the crop, at least the corn crop in the United States, is made, relatively speaking, and will be, I don't know, 13.5 to 14 billion bushels or whatever number you're working with, can you see demand being better than what USDA has projected at this point?
Well, I think it could be, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to make a difference.
I was grasping for a straw, Dan.
right at the moment, anyway, the general thinking is that we're going to have a carryout somewhere around 1.9, give or take 100 million bushels. It's been quite a while since we've had something around 1.9.
Right.
I don't think 1.9 is quite as bad as it was 20 years ago when you have when you're using maybe 13 billion bushels worth of corn, 12 to 13, depending upon maybe 13.5, depending upon once we get our demand back in line. But the higher prices, what we experienced here over the past 3 to 4 years, accomplished what high prices do, and that is to reduce demand in some areas and then increase production worldwide. Very similar to what we saw in the early 70s when we took soybeans to 12.96 or something like that, I think, on a high, and then we took corn to $4.74 and whatnot. So, you know, within a couple years of those higher prices, we were swimming in corn and soybeans, and then we were back into the back then, we still had grain reserves and set aside acres and all that kind of stuff. I'm not too sure that's going to come around again, but I also know that what goes around comes around. South America had a perfect weather season last year and just grew a humongous crop. It's going to be a competitor all the way into the first part of next year. And then, they start harvesting a new crop again in April, May. So we are going to have some problems, I think, selling our product simply because supplies around the world, at least at the moment, are fairly adequate to maintain the price levels that we've maybe grown accustomed to over the past 3 or 4 years. I'm not one in the camp that we're going to go back sharply lower, but markets prices have a tendency to go down below cost of production when we're in surplus years, and that would be my guess over the next year or two.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, and good luck making your way north, and say hi to the folks in Sangamon County. That's a really nice brand new building there.
It sure is.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you. Bye.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, Illinois Congressman John Shimkus today says that a repeal of the renewable fuel standard is off the table because there is not enough votes. House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Frank Upton selected four Republican members of the House subcommittee to form a task force to explore possible ways to reform the RFS standard. Shimkus is a member of the task force. The RFS requires higher levels of renewables to be blended each year into petroleum-based fuels through 2022, when it reaches 36 billion gallons. A cartel that effectively set prices for one of the world's most important agricultural commodities, potash, collapsed on Tuesday. Russian potash producer Uralkali said it was pulling out of its sales partnership with Belarus, the linchpin of a global cartel commanding two-thirds of a nearly $22 billion market for the fertilizer ingredient. President Barack Obama is ordering federal agencies to review safety rules at chemical facilities in response to the deadly explosion at a Texas fertilizer plant. The president has issued an executive order telling agencies to look for new ways to safely store and secure ammonium nitrate. That's the explosive chemical thought to have caused the Texas blast. Agencies are also being told to determine whether more chemicals should be covered by federal regulations. The massive explosion in April in West Texas killed 15 people and leveled hundreds of structures, including three of the town's four schools. The U.S. Department of Agriculture purchased sugar from domestic sugarcane growers in the government's second intervention in the market this month. USDA paid $6.87 million for the sugar. The purchase was about a third of what the agency had said it would spend. USDA said last week that it planned to buy $18.7 million worth of domestic sugar after purchasing $43.8 million worth earlier this month. And Kellogg Company says its profit rose in its latest quarter, but revenue fell short of Wall Street expectations as sales of its breakfast business declined. The morning foods unit saw a 3.3% loss. Kellogg earned $352 million, or 96 cents per share. That compares with $324 million, or 90 cents per share, a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, Central Time, USA. Our panelists in studio will include Ellen Dearden and Bill Mayer. Dan Zwicker will be on one of the phone lines from CGB, and Steve Freed of ADM Investor Services out of Chicago will be our guest. Should be a great show. You can hear it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. After about 6 o'clock on Friday evening, Central Time. Now up next, you know the number of beef cattle in the United States has been dropping for a few years, but as you'll hear, an ag economist from Purdue University believes that trend is about to change. The beef cattle numbers in the United States started to drop off not with the drought of 2012, nor even 2 years prior to that when the grasslands withered away in Texas and Oklahoma. Now, it was much further back, says Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
The number of beef animals has been in a downward spiral since 2007 due to drought, which has ravaged pastures, and due to high feed prices for corn, soybean meal, and forages. Now, prospects are brightening for a renewal of those pastures and for a welcomed reduction in feed prices.
Pastures, says Chris Hurt, around the nation have improved, even in parts of still suffering Texas and Oklahoma. It means beef animals can be started there and then moved into the feedlots where ranchers are hoping for a good corn harvest to push prices lower. All indications, for the moment, suggest their hopes will become a reality, says Hurt, and that should mean more animals on feed.
Beef cow operations in some parts of the country are probably getting ready to retain heifers where the pastures have been restored. beef cow numbers have declined in the southeast by about 700,000 head, or 12% since 2007. Midwest numbers have dropped by 680,000 head, or 14% since 2007. Both of these areas should have pasture and feed to begin heifer retention. The Northern Plains is another area that is ripe for beef herd expansion.
However, Hurt says there are other parts of the nation which have not yet recovered enough from the dry weather conditions to support an increase in the size of the herd. Well, the combination of the haves and the have-nots will cause a slow turn, thinks Chris Hurt.
So, the initial retention of heifers will likely start this fall in areas that are primarily east of the Mississippi River, plus the Delta area, and of course the western Corn Belt and the northern Great Plains. That's obviously a large area, and it currently represents about 57% of the nation's beef cows. Lower feed prices by themselves are not going to be enough to get retention started, but that's also going to require higher calf prices. And the process of those higher calf prices is underway. Oklahoma 500 to 550 pound calves have increased by about 15 cents per pound since early June, and 600 to 650 pound calves by about 13 cents. Currently, those prices are $1.65 and $1.55 a pound. However, even those levels are not likely to stimulate any major beef cow herd expansion. It's more likely that prices of $1.75 to $2 a pound may be required to convince brood cow operations to move aggressively toward more cows.
So the beef cattle expansion in the United States, says Hurt, will be slow and low. He says ranchers know retaining heifers to become brood cows is a long-term investment, and he says they will want proof more profitable times have returned to stay before making any major financial commitments. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Usually at this time, we bring you the cash grain markets. Today, we talk with Matt Bennett of TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt is around, but I told him to hold off for a couple of minutes because I just heard from Pete Levitt that he's not available this afternoon. So we'll talk to Matt just a little bit longer during the 232 segment today. And I'll take time now to remind you that there are a whole bunch of ways that you can get hold of the information that comes to you from WILL and Will Ag. You can do that online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You can do it on your smartphone on our webpage at m.willag.org. And you can just call this number, 217-333-3434. Those are all updated each and every day with the latest information from our program. And if you like WILL a lot, you might try this one too. You can take WILL with you anywhere. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, or an Android device, just head to the App Store or Google Play, and search for WILL Radio, the new WILL app. It's free and allows you to stream AM and FM stations, listen to past episodes of all of our programming, including the ag programs, right there on your smartphone. That's the WILL app. Look for it on Google Play, and you can look for it on the iPhone App Store. In just a couple of minutes, I'll return. We'll talk then with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois, about the agricultural cash grain markets here on the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Raspberry Cream Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, the first U.S. census was taken. We had a total of 3,939,214 mouths to feed. In 1793, France introduced the first metric weight, the kilogram. In 1817, Sir Joseph Henry Gilbert was born. Gilbert and his partner, Sir John Lawes, conducted agricultural experiments at Rothamsted Experimental Station, the oldest agricultural research station in the world. They are considered founding fathers of the agricultural sciences and are also co-inventors of superphosphate fertilizer. In 1870, Ilya Ivanov was born. Ivanov, a Soviet biologist, developed the practical procedure for artificial insemination of domesticated animals. Initially used on horses, by the 1930s, the procedure was used on other farm animals. And in 1893, Henry D. Perkey and William Ford patented shredded wheat. Whole wheat is boiled, dried, pressed into thin shreds, and finally baked. They presented the product at the World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago, Illinois, in 1893. When their patent expired in the mid-1930s, the name, shredded wheat, became generic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the closing market report. It does come to you from the University of Illinois on the Urbana-Champaign campus. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us to look at the cash grain market. From Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois, at the TGM elevator there is Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the cash grain situation, how basis has changed in the last 2 weeks for both corn and soybeans.
Obviously, last week was awfully rough on basis for both corn and beans. You know, depending on where you're at, we lost up to a dollar on either commodity. But then this week, we've seen a little bit of a firming of the basis in certain areas. Some processors have been stepping up just a little bit, and part of the reason for that is there's just been pretty much zero cash movement both in corn and beans.
Do you suppose that it's likely that end users have gotten their needs met through the harvest time frame, which would be, well, I don't know, late September, early October, or will there be a time yet that the gap needs to be filled?
Well, obviously, it's a painstaking effort getting to that point where we get to harvest. You know, there's with a huge inverse, there's a lot that has to go on, and I think last week was kind of a big step in achieving that goal. But as you kind of are alluding to, I think that there's probably a few people that are still in a situation where they don't have near what they need met as far as their needs go, and so. While I don't think we're going to get near the levels that we were at before on the flat cash side of it, I do think that there's going to be some definite basis appreciation and probably some quick ship bids, you know, that will surface where people are needing either beans or corn, because I think both are going to be equally in high demand depending on where you're at, you know, from a regional perspective.
Yeah, are those likely or unlikely to show up in the futures market? Will it just be a cash bid that you have to watch for?
I don't think that we're going to be seeing a huge appreciation in the futures market, barring some unforeseen weather circumstance. You know, like for instance, a frost would have a huge impact on the market. I think what you're going to see is probably a real strong push from individual processors again on a regional basis.
Now, you have been an advocate over time of making sure producers have the next year's crop kind of locked in early on, simply on really good pricing. For 2014, have you been looking forward still?
Yeah, we've actually had a lot of stuff booked for certain customers that were willing to look at doing something like that at some pretty decent levels on the 14 crop. And just plain and simple, we felt like there was a lot of value there. And whenever we enter into a futures position or, whatever it may be, from a futures side of it, though, you can get out of it from just selling cash. A lot of times, you know, the basis is so wide, it's not maybe as advantageous to go ahead and step out and sell that as what it is to enter it on the future side. So, yeah, we definitely have some guys that, you know, have up to 25-30% of their 14 stuff locked in.
Yeah, what are your bids for the day?
We're looking at cash corn at 588, fall 458, 1327 on the cash beans, and 1172 for fall.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yep. Thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing. He's in Windsor, Illinois at the elevator there. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. You can listen to him or any of the report for that matter on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Anytime you'd like. Don't forget about Commodity Week posted there by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening, Central Time, USA. Our guest this week, Steve Freed, he's with ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this edition of the CMR. I'm Todd Gleason.